This kid Foster's a better fucking inside backer than him, in my board. Too bad he had that fucking tainted, because that might be good for us. If he falls in the second, are you afraid to take that kid?
Foster?
Yeah, I don't think he falls that far. That's fucking far.
If he falls into the second.
Yeah, these motherfuckers might... Middle linebackers fall, bro.
If he drops to round two, well, I don't think there's any fucking way that San Francisco would pass him. I would sprint to the fucking podium for Reuben Foster in round two.
What's the verdict out here on Cunningham? Because I don't see it, man.
No, I'm not a Cunningham. Well, you and I talked about it the other day, Jose, a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
Why am I so
Zach Cunningham?
The linebacker from your boyfriend's school.
He's not even in the top 50 for me.
So what size are you guys ordering your Trubisky jerseys in?
I told you, this is what's going to happen, right, Shane? The fucking fourth guy I like is going to be Pace's first guy.
Does anybody here have a problem with them taking Mahomes at three?
No. I took him at three.
How about you, Shane?
That scares the shit out of me, Jose.
It scares me, but I wouldn't be mad at that. If they took Trubisky, I'd be fucking pissed.
I feel the same way. I'm not going to be pissed. I'm going to be upset. I'm not going to be pissed. I'm not going to be like Leonard Floyd with Tunsil there. I was fucking pissed.
Oh, yeah.
You did cry like a little bitch for about 2 weeks. Oh, my God.
Oh,
2 weeks.
God. I was pumped. I was hurt by that. It's like,
listen.
Ask Joel, Lauren.
Listen.
We're going to get Tunsil. My wife has it on tape still.
What's funny is that you're saying finally they get a left tackle, right?
Yeah. And then
guard.
I was surprised. When they moved up, I thought they were going to take Tunsil, but I liked Floyd a whole bunch too. So
I did too. I told everybody here. I said, well, we got our left tackle.
That whole Ray McDonald thing screwed up the whole Bears taking a chance on anybody.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Have some fucking balls, Pace.
like you're gonna find 50 some odd guys who are fucking choir boys.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, kill each other on Sunday, but then Monday through Saturday.
Anyway, but we gotta start this. I hope we're recording this shit because this is good stuff.
Fans, this is Bears Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and this finally is draft week. We are fortunate to have the entire crew for what will be a very lengthy show, I am sure, because there's so much to talk about and so many ways to talk about it. Let me do the introductions in a way that we can match the voice with the name. Let's begin with Lauren Cox of Bears Hour Live fame and writer for BearsWire.com. Lauren, we got a question. I asked for questions before the taping of the show, and we got tons of them, so let's try to knock out a few. We got a question from Derek the Bear Fanatic, and he asks, what channel are you going to be watching the draft on?
Boy, you know, that's
Lifetime.
A good question. Here's my answer. I'm going to be watching on ESPN solely for the reason that I don't even have a cable service at my apartment here at school, so I will be watching on Watch ESPN, and there's not a good streaming service for NFL Network besides watching it illegally, but even that's going to be a lower quality stream. So I'll have ESPN on mostly just for necessity, but I'd probably have NFL Network on if I had the choice.
Shane Marsaw, the lead analyst at BearsBarroom.com. Michael Byrne asked the question, do you see Eric Kush making the starting five on the offensive line? If so, where would he fit best?
I do not see Kush making the top five. I think he's your classic backup that you can plug and play at center or offensive guard in a push with Kush, I guess you could say. How lame is that?
He only starts if there's an injury, right?
Yeah, right. No, I don't think he's – I think he's a guy that's going to go in there and give it his all, and he will push and make guys ahead of him better. But I just think the way that our line is currently constructed, I'd be a little bit surprised if he was one of the top five.
Philotoshin of Bears Hour Live and host, producer, writer of The Doctor's Office at BearsBarroom.com. We know that you want Deshaun Watson in round one. Michael Cav asks, who would you pick in round two? No trading down or anything. Just let us know, who do you want in round two?
That's a tough one. We were just talking about a possibility if one of these guys who tested positive or tainted, if you will, Reuben Foster or Jabril Peppers, if they were to fall into that second round because of these tainted, and that could put them, I don't know, let me check with super producer Shane Marsaw. Will they automatically go on the drug list? So
they are there, yes. Jose Coco is at the top, Reuben Foster.
Yeah, they got one strike. That could force some GM's hands. You know what? I don't want to take a chance on this guy in the first round. That might slide you down there, and then you got him right in your bullseye area. Your sights are set with a Reuben Foster or Jabril Peppers. If you came away with Watson at the top, that would be something special there. However, if we're just going to say they go in the first round, the guy I've been, you know, really closing in on, and it's going to shock you a little bit, is Evan Engram from Ole Miss. Something about this football player, big time player.
He's somebody I
keep an eye on going offense here, because there's been a lot of signings on the defensive side of the football. A lot of players thrown at the position. Me and Jose Cotto had talked last week. I think there's, 19 corners on the roster now. They got about 20 safeties. So, really, what have they done offensively to replace the big play player in Alshon Jeffrey? To me, a Wheaton signing is a nine-route guy. He's not doing it for me. Get this opportunity to get an inside player like Engram, who can go outside, is athletic enough, and change the dynamic of the football field. The same thing I was talking about with O.J. Howard. That's a guy I would look at in round two.
I love that name. This guy, I've been watching a lot of tape on him lately. Yeah, he's definitely got the goods. All right, Jose Cotto is our fourth, but not least, panelist, if you want to call it that. Jose, you are the senior analyst at BearsBarroom.com, and I want to tell our audience to make sure you check out his two most recent articles, the Fuck, Marry, Kill, which has gotten great response from our readers, and the entire gang participated in that article, and also Jose's big board where he lists his top 50 players on his board. Jose, Matt White on Twitter writes that secondary and quarterback are clearly top priorities. Post-free agency, how important do you think are tight end and wide receiver still?
I think you still have holes there. You have a number of players at those positions, but you don't have anybody that really stands out to you as an impact player. Zach Miller is on the backside of his career. He's always injured. You can't really depend on him, and I'm not very high on Deion Sims, so tight end is a position that I think is very important. And fortunately for the Bears, it's a very deep position in this draft. As far as the wide receivers go, there's a lot of numbers at that position as well, and there's potential, but there are a lot of question marks. And if these players don't pan out, I mean, you could just end up with a bunch of nothing, and you just have Mike Glennon distributing the football and throwing for 3,000 yards, and you have another lackluster year on offense, because teams are going to stack the box if they don't feel that your wide receivers can threaten them. So I think those positions definitely do need to be addressed. I don't know that they're at the top of the Bears' needs, but at some point in this draft, with the depth at those two positions, I think the Bears can address those positions and ultimately end up with a player that makes the roster and does make an impact next season.
Hey, we have gotten so many great questions from our followers. We may not get to them, and if we do get to them, it will probably be in hour three or four of the show. But I do want to make sure I get this one question out. I think it comes from Mike the Rookie, and I'm going to pose it to Jose, because this is something only Puerto Ricans go to bed at night thinking. if you were a boxer, what song would be your entrance theme, Jose?
Oh.
I know what mine would be. It would be Staying Alive, Staying Alive.
Can we all have an entrance theme?
Absolutely. Let's go for it.
No, I'm saying to start the show.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah.
And I think I'm just throwing this out there. I think we should pick for each other next week or something. That would be fun.
Okay, let's do
surprise that. Each other.
All right. Well, we'll do that definitely.
As long as Jose's not picking for me.
You should let me pick for him. What's that song? Rainbows, lollipops.
I knew it would be song. Like, sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and everything.
That Lauren knows it, of course.
I knew that was coming. That was his eighth grade.
Aldo, how the hell are you going to get hyped for a fight with Staying Alive? You're just trying to... So is your goal, like, you're not Mexican, you don't go in there to just take punches, you're Puerto Rican, you're supposed to win the fight, bro.
Staying alive. My fighting skills dictate that it's staying alive. Unless I can bite, kick, and scratch.
He's got money, he's gonna last one round.
Nobody's written a song about Puerto Rican judo yet, so I'm having trouble coming up with one.
All right, well, think about it and let us know if you've got something. All right, we're going to tackle a number of different topics and approaches on this show, so we'll get as much as we can through this. Let's begin first with our own Bears Bar Room mock draft. We're all in this virtual bar room. We're having a few beers. We're going to all be assigned a round in which to make a pick for the Chicago Bears. And we're going to begin with Shane Marsaw making the first round pick of the 2017 draft for the Chicago Bears. Shane, you're on the clock.
With the third pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select quarterback Deshaun Watson.
Wow. Yes. Interesting. Interesting.
Yes.
Now, Shane, I got to ask you, why would you go with Watson when your preferred quarterback is Kaiser?
Kaiser is my number one. I don't think that's where it's going to go. I guess I'm kind of doing this from Pace's point of view. I still can't get that quote out of my head.
You know, you want to see a guy that's elevated his program. And again, you just reference places you've been, you know, and I know I've talked about this player a lot because he had a big impact on me, but I think about Breeze when he was at Purdue and he elevated that program. I mean, he took him to the Rose Bowl. So that's, I think that means something, you know, and I think that's something that we pay attention to.
And, you know, I look at a guy like Deshaun Watson, and yes, he does have his flaws like all of these top four do, but I think what he, you know, needs to work on, he's got to work on some accuracy. I heard Jordan Palmer talk about him today. He's got to be able to release that back hip through when he releases the ball, he's got to release that back hip in on his deep balls. He thinks that's going to help correct his accuracy problems on his deep balls. And it's just little things like that that I think that even speaking of little things, our offensive coordinator can help. Can help. It's just, as much as I do love Deshaun Kaiser, he personally, like I think everybody knows, he's my number one quarterback. He's my favorite quarterback. There's just something about Deshaun Watson that, to me, it's almost going to ignite the fan base. Chicago needs a guy like that. He's a proven winner in college, and I know guys like Tim Tebow, but, you know, they're proven winners at the college level. But this cat's just different. He's got more than enough arm. If our line does break down, he can, you know, he can get out of trouble with his feet and make big plays. And when we're in Green Bay and there's, you know, 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter, I think Deshaun Watson's going to give you that type of confidence that, you know what, fuck it, we've been a doormat, but this is Deshaun Watson's team, and he's going to take us down the field, and we're going to beat Green Bay, and we're going to, you know, circle the wagons around him, and this is, we're going to get this thing turned around. It's just one of those little innate qualities in a player that when you look at it, you always see him making these big plays on the biggest stage, and yes, people will trash him about his 17 interceptions this past year, but we brought this up before. Lauren did a really great job breaking down each of those and showing that it's not just all of Deshaun Watson's, you know, wasn't just all mistakes on Deshaun Watson's part there that added to those increased numbers. But, no, like I said, I see that quote or hear that quote from Ryan Pace that you want a guy that has elevated his program, and there's not another quarterback that I look at that fits. And I think he looks at Deshaun Watson as his Marcus Mariota.
You know, what's interesting, Shane, excuse me for interrupting, is that Deshaun Kizer, who I actually have above Deshaun Watson, the interesting thing about if Kizer coming to the Bears is that he would be coming to an organization that has the same kind of coaching problems that Notre Dame has. Yeah. You know, he would be stuck with a John Fox and Dow Loggins, two guys who probably are not would not be best suited to develop a quarterback.
It's a great point, Aldo. And it's one of the things that I was just going to say next was, I think Phil brought this up earlier, is Deshaun Watson's the type of guy that, yes, maybe he may not be ready to come in and take control game one. They're obviously going to roll with Mike Glennon and give him enough rope to hang himself, that big-ass neck. But he, I think sitting behind Glennon and Sanchez for a year is only going to be a benefit to really any of the top four quarterbacks, obviously, but I think most of his flaws are workable. And, you know, what happens if Mike Glennon goes out in week two and breaks his leg or tears his ACL? That's what I'm saying. Is Ryan Pace really going to roll with Mark Sanchez for 14 weeks or for Connor Shaw? It just essentially makes it a wasted season. That's why I think that's something that doesn't get brought up here very often when you are talking about a quarterback at three or in a small trade down in the first round and taking your quarterback. At least then, if something like that does happen, it's not, you know, doom and gloom. There is some light at the end of the tunnel. You're going to essentially turn your team over to your prized rookie, and you're going to take your lumps along the way, but at least you have that quarterback there that you is going to bring hope and pride to the city that hasn't had it in a really, really long time. And, you know, hopefully he can be a guy that the fans and the players rally around. And just to me, I look at Deshaun Watson, and he's that type of guy that can really rally the troops. And that is the one question that I do have about Deshaun Kizer, is when things break down, how is he going to react to that?
All right, Lauren and Phil, I know you both want Deshaun Watson in round one, and I'll let you comment on that pick that Shane just made. But I also want you to answer this question, but I'm gonna go to Jose first. But the question I want you guys to answer is, if Connor Shaw was available in this draft, where would you put him in the list of quarterbacks in your board? Would he be behind Peterman at 6 or 7 or whatever? Let us know that. But let me get Jose's thoughts on Shane's pick of Deshaun Watson in the first round. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? Or what are your thoughts?
No, I can't disagree with that pick. I have Deshaun Watson rated as QB1, and I do think the Bears should draft a quarterback in the first round. So I can't disagree with anything. I mean, this team needs a face of the franchise. I know we've talked about it on several podcasts, and I brought it up some time ago with needing to retain Alshon Jeffrey because you didn't really have anything exciting on offense. Obviously, you know, Jordan Howard emerged last season, but he's more of a quiet player who gets the job done, and I don't think he's going to embrace being the face of the offense. And while Kyle Long is an entertaining Twitter follow, I don't know that it can be an offensive guard. I think your quarterback needs to be the leader of that offense, and Deshaun Watson definitely has proven that he's a leader, and he's the kind of player that is going to throw the team on his shoulders when a play is needed, and he's going to get it done. I mean, he's done it at the highest collegiate level, and these types of things tend to translate. I think he comes in here and eventually this is his team, and for the next 10 years, Chicago has a franchise quarterback, so I would love that pick.
So, Jose, you have no qualms whatsoever with Deshaun Watson translating his skills to the NFL game. None whatsoever.
No, I think he's going to get it done. I think every prospect comes in with some mechanical issues, some technique issues. I mean, nobody comes in knowing how to play the NFL game. It's all about how they take to coaching. And he strikes me as the type of player that's going to work hard. He loves football. He looks like he wants it. He wants to win games. I mean, this kid got his ass handed to him by Alabama. I mean, he took some shots in that game. He just kept getting back up and won. It wasn't like you trying to stay alive in your little boxing match there. He got up and he knocked his opponent the fuck out.
Well, yeah, it was impressive what Jonathan Allen said about him at the Combine, where he was asked which player he respects the most that he's played against, and he mentioned Deshaun Watson, that they really put the boom on him for three quarters, and he kept battling and ended up winning that championship game. All right, let me bring in Lauren and Phil. Share your thoughts on that first-round pick, and then also answer that question about Connor Shaw and where you would list him in your big board if he was on the draft this year, if he was draft eligible this year.
Connor Shaw is tough for me just because we haven't seen really that much of him. I mean, would I feel more comfortable with Connor Shaw over a Nathan Peterman? Yeah. Would I feel more comfortable with Connor Shaw over a Brad Kaya? Probably. But it feels weird to me to say, like, I would put Connor Shaw as the fifth best quarterback in this draft. And I don't think it's – I don't know. I don't know if – I don't know why, because I should just be more confident in what I've seen from Connor Shaw. But I guess for some reason, because it's been largely preseason and it was, like, two games with the Cleveland Browns or three or four games, it's not – it was impressive, and I want to see more, and I'm excited about him as a developmental quarterback prospect. But, when compared to – some of these draft guys, I feel like there's a little bit more of that, a little bit more of a home run potential with some of these guys. Not that Connor Shaw doesn't have that, but I don't know. Could a Davis Webb long-term give you more than a Connor Shaw? Maybe. Could a Joshua Dobbs? Maybe. Chad Kelly? Maybe. I mean, I really struggle with where to exactly pigeonhole him in here, because he's right in there in that group, I think, for me, with Dobbs and Webb as that second tier of quarterbacks below the top four, but not, you know, he's not, I wouldn't, Connor Shaw's not a second round guy or anything for me in this draft. You know, he's still a day three kind of guy like the rest of them, but definitely below the Trubisky, Watson, Mahomes, Kaiser quad group at the top. And then from there, it's very murky with he and guys like Dobbs and Webbs and even Kelly for me.
Phil, your thoughts.
First of all, I love the pick, obviously. I can't really, I think both Jose and Shane did an excellent job imitating me going on about 7-8 minutes talking. So,
listen,
hypocrites they are.
The reality of this pick.
The reality is.
That's good.
And there you go. Watson is the face. That's what you want. I've said it too many times on here. I applaud Shane. I would feel great about that going to sleep on a Thursday night, knowing that the future is in the hands of a competition to bring success to the Soldier Field crowd and the Bears fans that deserve it. Listen, one point I wanted to make on this show tonight, Jose, Shane, and somewhat Lauren live outside of Bear Country, and all we do is hear bullshit anywhere we go on 85 or Cutler sucks. You guys suck. You guys stink. This year. That's all you hear. Everything and everywhere. You get known for being a Bears fan. So to see them take a shot at the fence, swing at the fences, stop trying to freaking walk, you know, take some swings at the plate. And that is where I hope Ryan Pace, because I can go for any of these quarterbacks at this point because I think it's that important. And I applaud Shane for hitting on the and I think Jose and Lauren are in agreement with me. But as far as Connor Shaw is concerned, I would put him as behind Kelly for me. Like Lauren said, I haven't seen enough of him. Kelly would be my fifth-ranked quarterback in this draft. So he'd be the sixth guy. But I don't count anybody out. There's a reason why, what is it? What was it? Their 28 teams passed on Tom Brady for six rounds. So not always are these guys right. You can't measure someone's heart and you try to do your best at it. That's why I think we're all in unison of how we feel. That I think Jose said it the best. I want to highlight this point because I think it really speaks volumes about the position. He loves the game of football. That should be your first question, especially at that position, because it takes a lot of pride to stand in the face of pass rushers coming at you at 290 pounds or 340 pounds and hitting you in the face and having to get up after the holding penalty and you had a big play and you got to do it again. We know this story here in Chicago. So it really takes a lot of love and passion for the game of football to study the playbook, be ready, and compete.
Jose Cotto, it is the second round. You are now the general manager because Shane and Phil and Lauren are all spooning in bed, happy about Deshaun Watson being the number one quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Jose, who are you picking in the second round?
I got a visual there. It's fucking horrible.
Well, we all know Phil's on the inside. I'm on the outside.
You better borrow Hefe's ladder, Phil.
We're spooning, bro. Talk to
Hey. Yeah, but
we have bunk beds. Me and Lauren have bunk beds.
Aldo, before I make my pick, I want to ask you a quick question because you said, do I have any doubts about Deshaun Watson being a franchise quarterback? Is that because I tweeted earlier today that I felt like I felt most confident that Kaiser wouldn't bust at that position?
No, but that's a good question if you want to answer that.
So with Kaiser, because he's the prototypical size, has the prototypical arm strength, and has all of those tools that all these NFL coaches are going to feel like they could get the most out of, when I say least likely to bust, I feel like those are the players that are going to have long careers that I feel most confident are going to have very long careers. I think with Kaiser, even if he doesn't develop into a franchise, quote-unquote franchise quarterback or a top-tier starter, I think he'd get multiple opportunities and he'd stick around for a lot longer than some of these other guys. Like, you look at a quarterback like RG3, who was, an athletic quarterback like Deshaun Watson. Not saying that they're the same quarterback, because that's not what I'm saying at all, but he had a much shorter leash in the NFL. Because of his play style, because of the injuries, and because he wasn't the prototypical size, I think more NFL coaches weren't as eager to give him an opportunity or stake their job on someone like that. I think Kaiser would get multiple opportunities. I mean, you saw a player with similar build and arm strength and tools in Josh Freeman who got multiple opportunities, although he was a complete head case. Yep. So that's why.
All right, you're on the clock, Jose.
That said, with the 36th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select offensive tackle Antonio Garcia, Troy, because I don't want Deshaun Watson to die.
Well, that's going to make Lauren happy because that's who he had in his mock draft, I believe, in round two also. But go ahead, Jose.
Did you, Lauren?
I think I had him in the third round.
Third round, yep.
Yeah,
he lacks that long. With Garcia, I see a player who can play left tackle in the NFL. He has a nasty disposition. That's what I like about him the most is that he finishes his blocks. He has good feet. He gets to the second level. Only beef I really have with him is I don't feel he's completely dominant as a run blocker, but I think he will get better as he gets stronger. He's a tall player on the outside. He has adequate length. I just think he needs to get a little stronger. Once he gets into an NFL weight room, I think this player is going to be a very good left tackle for 10 years. I mean, I think initially he may come in to Chicago and start on the right side. And I think it's underrated, getting good pass blockers on the right side. That old right tackle only thing that we still throw around, I know we're, most of us are still guilty of saying it. I still say it. This guy's right tackle only. In today's NFL, you have some players lining up on the strong side that are elite pass rushers. It's not you don't just have power left ends lining up in front of you anymore. You have elite pass rushers on both sides of the defense at this point. So you need players that are going to hold up in pass protection. Initially, I think he comes in and he upgrades right tackle, and eventually he moves over to left and kicks Charles Leno to swing tackle or, you know, maybe to right tackle.
Shane Marsall, what do you think about that pick? Or do you like the pick, or do you think it's Latino bias?
No, I think it's I think Phil and I may have talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that I think that I know nobody else does, but I have Cam Robinson as my top offensive tackle. I'm a big fan, but I think he's going to – I really believe that he's going to come off the board earlier than people expect. Thursday night, right. I totally agree with that, Jose. But, no, I think offensive tackle is one of the areas on this team that's overlooked quite often in this draft. And I know Lauren took him in round three, and Jose taking him here in round two. I totally understand it. And if you're going to invest, like Jose said, in Deshaun Watson or whomever it is in round one, I have no problem turning it around and protecting that guy just as much as possible, and give him, you know, horses up front that are going to have that nasty disposition to keep him clean. So I can't complain about it. Probably, if I was going to nitpick, I would say that it's maybe a little bit early, but if we're talking second round and you're protecting your franchise quarterback, I can't complain about it too much.
Lauren, do you recall who you had in round two?
I can't even remember.
Oh, wasn't that fat old lady pig out in California?
No, Lamar Houston's already on the roster. Jersey.
Oh. Aunt B. It was Aunt B. From Mayberry.
It was Kevin King from Washington. I had Jonathan Allen 1, King 2, go. Garcia 3.
Okay. So what do you think? Do you think it's a little early to pick Antonio Garcia in round 2? And would you prefer King?
Well, just because Jose said it, yeah, it's way too early. It's a terrible pick. Worst mock draft I've ever seen in my entire life. No, I mean, it's not. I mean, it's maybe a slightly early for my liking, but I wouldn't hate the pick in that sense that, you know, I think this offensive tackle group is very strong at the draft, at the top. And if you want to get one that's going to be an upgrade, you have to do it probably with that 36th pick. Because I think by round 3, you're really taking a risk if you're waiting for a guy like Garcia to be there. Because you could easily see, you know, Lamp, Ramchek, Robinson, and Bowles all go in the first round. And then, holy crap, there's most of the good tackles in this draft already gone. And if you're patient, you really want to upgrade that position, I wouldn't be mad at all with Garcia there in the second round. I just, maybe there's a chance that, you know, a guy like Bowles falls because he's a little bit older. A guy like Ramchek falls because he hasn't had, because he's hurt and he hasn't been able to test at the combine. Or maybe Robinson falls because teams aren't falling in love with some of his inconsistencies. I mean, maybe you get, you know, a guy to last until the third round, but I definitely wouldn't be too opposed to taking a guy like Garcia in the second.
Phil Atoshin, what do you think about the pick? And I also want to ask you, what would be the first question you would ask a Latino player you are interviewing during the combine and trying to get to know the player better? Would you ask him something like, how long has it been since you quit the gang?
My first question usually is, you speak English?
You fucker, your joke was funnier than mine.
I'm laughing at my own joke.
So what do you think about the pick?
The pick, honestly, I think is a little too high for my taste, Jose. I got to be honest. I like Garcia, but I'm with Lauren in the third round. I have guys higher, and if we were going to be in the second round looking at offensive tackles, I'm looking at Shane's boy from Alabama, Cam Robinson, could slide right into right tackle and alleviate that situation. And he could possibly compete for left tackle. I think he will be on the board. He might surprise and go sooner. I know the New York Giants have been known to take chances on big school offensive tackles. And if Cam Robinson was on the board, I'd rather have him. I also think Deion Dawkins, I have him graded a little bit higher than Garcia.
As a tackle?
Yeah, I could see him playing right tackle.
I don't want to completely cut you off here. I just want to rebut real quick to because you guys have said similar things, you and Lauren. I think that because the offensive tackle class, I mean, once you start getting past those top five guys, it really becomes so murky so weak that some of these guys are going to get pushed up and are going to go in the first round that probably wouldn't in other drafts. And I have Ramczyk number one and Robinson number two. I have Garcia as my third offensive tackle, and I just think that those other two guys are going to be gone in the first round. But that's just me.
Hey, you know, Jose,
talent in the first round defensively that I think that's going to push players out. Like, wide receivers are going to be around later. Corners are going to be there. You follow? But
the quarterbacks, because it's such a shallow group, people are going to say, well, if I don't get one now, I'm not going to get one at all. Like,
I agree. Defensive talent being
so rich, like if you're looking at, like when we had the cornerback show, I mean, we went like, we're talking like 22 different corners, and a lot of them, I mean, we'd be happy with most of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if you need a corner and you're looking at cornerback three and you're saying, shit, there's no offensive tackles left here, and you're looking at Garcia, or you could wait around and get a guy who's comparable to the guy you have as your third-ranked cornerback. I just think you'd be more apt to pull the trigger because the position is so shallow in the draft. Unless you feel like you can address that position some other way via trade or, you know, moving a player that's already on your roster, that's a position that's pretty difficult to find. I mean, at this point, I mean, that first round of free agency is already it's come and gone, and people aren't cutting competent left tackles. It's not really happening. So I don't know. That's why I think they're going to get pushed up. So that's why I think that Garcia is a player that probably in most drafts would be a third round pick, maybe, because it'd be a deeper group and you'd have more to pick from in this draft would be ranked higher. And I do have a second round grade on him. I think for me, I don't think it would be a reach, obviously. I mean, I made the selection, but
Jose, just quickly, every time you dive in between her thighs, the audio gets a little murky. Anyway, Phil, go ahead and rebut to what Jose just said.
No, I completely understand, but remember here, you're at, 36. So based on who's going to be at your board, I know you're looking at need there, but if you went quarterback one, is Garcia going to be ranked higher than some of the defensive standouts that got pushed down? I got to get my guy because I'm tired of losing. And if that's your guy, then 100%. For me, Garcia wouldn't be my guy at the top of the second round.
I hear you. And he's 34 on my board. And one of the guys that you mentioned earlier, Evan Engram, I just think he's gone in the first round.
It's a lot of guys in the first round.
I'm basing this on my board. The guys that I think are going to be gone ahead of us, ahead of where the Bears are selected.
How many tight ends in the first round?
I think three tight ends go in the first round.
How many running backs?
I'd say two to three.
Because there's already six of your 32 picks. You know what I mean? Like, it goes fast.
Yeah.
And then if you throw in like four offensive tackles, you're getting close to half your first round.
And then all four quarterbacks.
Yeah. I don't know.
Some of these guys are going to get pushed down that you don't.
Yeah. No. I know. It's just tough because we're doing this. We're doing this exercise without any selections happening. You know.
Great exercise.
Sure.
Not to cut you off, Evan Engram or Garcia. Go ahead.
Well, I'm taking Engram if he's there. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll be there at 36. I could be wrong. I mean, shit, there's so many different ways that first round could go.
Exactly.
Hey, you know, I think Jose brought up a really great point that would actually be a great podcast. I know we don't have too much time left here before the draft, but, you know, I think this same talk is going on in every war room around the NFL where you have to weigh these guys. You know, if you take your top four quarterbacks and Kaiser and Watson and Mahomes and Trubisky, like what Jose said, you have to weigh, you know, what's that next tier?
Exactly.
When you're talking about safeties, like Aldo, you being a huge Jamal Adams fan, well, can I find a safety in round two that may not be Jamal Adams, but maybe, you know, 85% of Jamal Adams. Could I find a safety like that in round two? Whereas Davis Webb, who's going to be a quarterback that I'm not high on myself, but is a guy that will probably be there in round two. Now, to me, I have a huge gap coming from my top four quarterbacks until I get to that second tier. I think it's a really fascinating conversation. I mean, you could go through position by position, and to me, it all leads back to – it does. It all leads back to quarterback. Like you said, like Jose was saying, these offensive tackles are really scarce. So even if you are drafting your guy a little bit early – like, I mean, I know I said that I thought it was a little bit early, but to Jose's point, you want to get your guy. And, I mean, who? Just because we say it's a little bit early, so if he goes 15 picks later, does that really make him a better pick? And then you take a chance of losing out on your offensive tackle. But this, you know, putting these guys in group tiers and comparing, like I said, a Jamal Adams to whatever safety that you – pick out of a hat in round two. I think that's a fascinating discussion.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think that Jose even nailed it with his fuck, marry, kill article, because that's another way of looking, I think, at what you just presented. And yeah. In fact, I'm borrowing that idea for the next video of my mock draft. And I'll give you a quick example. In round two, I'm choosing two guys that I would kill, two guys that I would fuck, and two guys that I would marry in case, you know, certain guys are not available. And in case somebody in the draft room is saying, you really need to draft Desmond King, he's available and round two, and we really should like him. No, I got him on my kill list. It just ain't going to happen. And on my marry list, I got two guys and so forth. So, yeah, you make a really good point. And, in fact, we wanted to play a little fuck, marry, and kill. But we might have to do that in hour three of our show. All right, let's move on. We've got now Phil Atoshin making the third round pick for the Chicago Bears. Phil, you are on the clock.
So it's kind of hard because Jose hit the –
oh my God! It's a short white wide receiver, isn't it? No,
it's very difficult because I don't know who's on the board here. Follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's your target. The guy.
My target here would be two players, but since
you only get to pick one, you dickhead.
Just stop. We're in the war room for a second here.
I'm going to draft two guys in round
four. No, I'm so disgusting. I'm disgusting.
In an unprecedented move, Phil Atoshin picked two players.
Oh, my God. Phil, you're on the side.
Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell is trying to decide which card to read.
Well, the Vikings got skipped 1 year, so I figured I could double pick.
Two years in a row, didn't they?
Did they? Is that right?
I think it was two. Yeah, I think that was back in like the Kevin. They ended up, I think, was it the Kevin Williams draft? And they ended up getting their freaking guy anyway. Kevin
Williams.
We got Michael Haynes, the fucking zookeeper.
Oh, my God.
That year.
Thank you, Greg Grabiel.
Bring him back for Mike Glenn.
Yeah.
Well, for the exercise here, this player could go higher. I don't know. But based on where we've gone in the drafts with Watson and then Garcia, I'm going to go to priority B in my needs list, and that would be from the University of Ohio, Terrell Basham at 67 for the Chicago Bears. Pass rusher, dip, bend, get after it kind of guy with a nonstop motor.
Hugh Douglas. He's Hugh Douglas.
Very good comp to him, Shane. Excellent comp, actually. He's Hugh Douglas-esque in the fact that he understands how to rush the passer when you watch him. He understands leverage and the post point of that kind of leverage, whether to go inside or outside and get to the quarterback. I just like the fact that there's plays on tape where he's crawling on the ground to regain balance and get after the play, whether it be a run play or pass play. It's just nonstop motor It's what you want from an edge guy, and that's where I would go for the Chicago Bears. Terrell Basham. What a name, too. I would buy that jersey.
Yeah, I love the pick and excellent analysis on his play. Jose, what do you think about that pick?
We talked about him earlier today, actually. I love that player, and that's another one that I think the Bears would be very fortunate if he's there in round three. I have him ranked a lot higher than that. I know that a lot of mock drafts have him going much lower, and they have, you know, players like T.J. Watt ahead of him. But I think in the pros, it's this: if you compare Basham to T.J. Watt, I mean, you compare the tape, fuck what T.J. Watt's name is.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's leaps and bounds better than T.J. Watt. It's like Phil said, this guy's technically sound. He knows what he's doing, and he has that motor. And when he played against, you can try and knock him for the small school thing, but when he played against top competition, the Tennessee game comes to mind. I mean, he just it looked like he was playing against Buck Crack State. He made those tackles look like they weren't there. They were Chicago Bears turnstile Bobby Massey tackles. You know, and this was against an athletic Buck Crack State. Who did?
I said my dad graduated from Butt Crack State. Don't talk crap.
Him and Aaron Lemming's mom. So, and this was against a very athletic quarterback in Josh Dobbs, who now obviously is being overhyped. But I was very impressed with him in that game. There was another game against top competition. I can't remember who it was against. Was it Ohio State? I can't remember the other game that I watched. But I mean, every game.
Senior Bowl, Jose.
Right. It didn't matter who you put in front of him. I mean, he got to the quarterback. He's one of those guys. And I don't know that Hugh Douglas is the exact comp that I would give him. I think it's pretty good, but I feel like he's a little more athletic than Hugh Douglas, at least in terms of. Yeah. In terms of maybe they tested similarly, but in terms of the tape, I don't have any issues with him. I mean, I don't see stiffness. I see him as a much better prospect than a kid who's being discussed as a first-round edge rusher in Charles Harris, and I know some of you guys like him a lot, but I think Terrell Basham is the better player there as well.
Lauren Cox, wow. I know you had Antonio Garcia in round three, but you're not going to argue with Terrell Basham, are you?
No. I agree with a lot of what Jose said, especially the T.J. Watt thing. I was talking to one of my friends who goes up here, and he said, you know, if T.J. Watt's name was Rick Smith, if you took T.J. Watt, change his name to Rick Smith and put him at San Diego State instead of Wisconsin – he's not a top 50 draft pick. I don't think. I mean, he's maybe he's right on the border there, but I agree that I think a guy like Basham keeps getting overlooked, but he might be there in the third round, but he's definitely a second round type talent.
Yeah, these guys from the MAC conference get no respect sometimes. Shane, your thoughts on Basham?
Love it. I mean, if this would have been Jose's pick in round two, I would have been.
Me too.
I would have been very, very happy with it. No, I think all four of us really, in our little Twitter circle jerk for the past few months, we've talked about him multiple times, and I think we've all agree that you know, he'd be a great fit here. And he's so relentless. And like Phil said, he really does have the perfect last name, because that's how he plays. He plays like his hair is on fire, and he's going to get to the quarterback, you know, no matter what. And he's, you know, he's a really fun player to watch. And I, like I said, round two, I would have no problem with him. Round three, sign me up all day long.
Yeah, this is a really strong draft for edge rushers. And, you know, once you get past your top guy, Myles Garrett, there's that second tier of guys that can go, you know, 10 deep and maybe even more. And then even when you get to the third tier guy, you got guys who are excellent developmental players for that position. But I strongly believe that Terrell Basham is at the top of that tier two category. All right, we're going to the fourth round now, and we are given young Lauren Cox, who has been ill all week. Lauren, are you feeling better today?
I think you can tell in my voice that it's not quite 100%, but I'm hoping to be good to go for the draft weekend.
Guys, I thought you would have been quick to add a, you know, too much cum in his mouth joke or something like that.
Well, I was going to ask him if he needed more vitamin D.
So. Ooh, there you go.
After that picture he shared last week, I can't complain.
Lauren stepped up his game.
Gotta give it to him.
Yeah. The pimp.
Careful, you never know who might be listening at some point. Here.
Other than her goatee, she was hot as hell.
Why didn't I see this?
There is a new survey from the folks at Fordham University saying that too much fucking fucks with your immunities. But I will cut that out, Lauren.
not a big deal. Not a big deal.
Eric right. Lambert must be super healthy then.
Oh no.
Eric, we love you. Hope you're listening. Lauren, go ahead. You got two picks.
Fuck off, Eric. I hate you.
You got two picks in the fourth round. Who are they?
All right. So the first one I'm going to start with is a good shout out to my boy Phil. And I think he's going to be very happy with this. I want to start off with the 111th pick. I'm going to take cornerback Fabian Moreau from UCLA.
Yes.
He's a guy that tore his pectoral muscle like a month ago. I'm taking this guy and basically redshirting him his rookie year. I'm going to be okay with Marcus Cooper and Prince Amukamara and Cravon LeBlanc and the other kid, Bryce Callahan, and maybe Hall or Fuller, depending on if they move to safety or if Fuller's healthy. But I think Fabian Moreau is potentially a second-round type talent, even a first-round, maybe bottom of the first-round type talent in this draft. But because he's injured, he's going to keep falling, and I'd snag him here in day four if he's on the board still, because I think he's a very talented young cornerback that when he's healthy again in 2018, or maybe even you get him a couple games at the end of 2017 just for some kind of quick development, that's a guy that's going to be a very talented player and is a steal, I think, in the fourth round. All right, then with the 117th pick here, I'm going to take another difficult-to-pronounce name, Stevie Tuikoluvatu, the defensive tackle from USC. I think he's a guy that comes in and is your backup nose tackle, and you could probably – I think he's got a quick enough get-off at times that you could potentially move him over the five, I mean, occasionally, but he's really your backup nose tackle just because Eddie Goldman's been banged up the last couple of years. Will Sutton's obviously not getting the job done, and Stevie T's not a guy that's going to be a nickel-down player, but you have enough depth on the defensive line anyway that you don't need him to play all three downs. You're gonna play him on first and second. You're going to play him in base defense, and he's going to be a really solid run stuffer. He's not offering a ton as a pass rusher, but for the role that he's going to get, I think he's a very safe, just solid football player in the fourth round. You know exactly what you're getting. He's your backup nose tackle. He can step in and start if Eddie Goldman gets hurt. And in nickel situations, you're going to be putting Hicks and Goldman and Bullard and those guys on the interior anyway, so you don't really need Stevie T on those passing downs. So I think that with that second, fourth round pick, he can be that really that depth on the defensive line that's been lacking.
You know, I actually found a website that has the pronunciation of these guys, and I'm looking for Stevie's name. How did you pronounce that? Oh, there it is. Tuikoluvatu.
Tuikoluvatu.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Phil, what do you think about those two picks?
Well, the first pick I absolutely love. I talked to Jose about him. I remember him. I think it was the East-West Shrine game. Remember talking to Shane or Jose. There's something about a bow-legged football player. Just in my experience of playing against that type of player that just brings a level of explosive toughness to the football field. And Fabian Moreau did not disappoint at the corner position. I think I'm totally on board with redshirting this type of talent because I think his ceiling is so high, physical, understands routes, concepts, can play zone or man, doesn't lack the athleticism and speed that you look for in that position. And I think he would fit what you're doing here in that matchup zone philosophy that they run a lot of the times. This kid's a smart football player, and I really love that pick. As for the second pick, you know, I don't know too much. I was kind of stumped at this pick, to be honest with you. I didn't know if Lauren has a little inside PFF grading chart on this football player because I didn't really watch a lot of USC Big Stevie down there. I didn't see him, but I'm going to trust Lauren on this part. It's unusual for me to be stumped at this portly nose tackle type defensive lineman. So I really have not watched much tape on Stevie. So I would be lying if I talked much about him.
I saw him down at the Senior Bowl in person, and he's just a big, I mean, 6'1", 331 pounds, big dude who gets off pretty well for a guy of that size. And he was really – he was one of our most effective players for PFF down at the Senior Bowl on a snap-to-snap basis. And, again, really, I think a sort of a one-dimensional player in that sense, because he can really get aggressive and vertical and slow down at the point of attack and just kind of embarrass some offensive linemen. But, again, not really an agile lateral mover and doesn't have a ton of pass rushing upside. He's also 26, or I think he'll be 26. He's 25 right now, so he's a little bit older. But he was one of our highest graded run defenders this past year, second in run stop percentage in the country. And, not a high ceiling kind of guy, but sort of like your Brandon Williams is your Ian. Is it Ian Williams too? Is he also a Williams? I mentioned, I'm going through these nose tackles. You know, even maybe Snacks Harrison, a very poor Snacks Harrison. You don't need him to be able to be an elite edge rusher, an elite pass rusher. Just let him dominate against the run and then take him out on third down.
Well, I admit it, just like Phil, I haven't seen any tape on this guy that I can recall, but he would be a welcome addition because we definitely need some help at that nose tackle position to assist Eddie Goldman and play him fewer plays, keep him fresh, and provide some help off the bench. Jose, you got any thoughts on these two picks in the fourth round?
Yeah, so I love the first pick. I think if Moreau falls there, or even if you were lucky enough to grab Sidney Jones, if he fell there because of the injury and redshirt him when you have Prince Amukamara on the roster on a one-year deal, that's a great pick there. It's great value. I think Moreau would have been in the discussion in round two for me, absolutely, if he was healthy. If that pectoral injury had not occurred, with this kid's athleticism and he's another guy who has that demeanor that you're looking for. He's an aggressive player, aggressive in run support. The thing that stood out to me the most, not necessarily on the tape, but when got a chance to watch him at the East-West Shrine game, is he was a demon on special teams. Obviously he's a good defender on top of that, but those are the kind of guys you want to get in-house here. You need more players who love the game and who play aggressively. In terms of the second, fourth-round pick, I think that's a little rich for me for Stevie T. I haven't watched a ton of his tape, just a little bit, and I did watch him a bit at the Senior Bowl. I agree with Lauren. He doesn't offer you anything in terms of the pass rush. I mean, he's not even really the type that collapses the pocket that I think is going to be able to do that at the NFL level consistently. So in terms of him being a one-dimensional run stuffer in a league that now, I mean, you're in nickel more than half the time, I don't know that you need another backup nose tackle after signing John Jenkins, which I thought was a good depth signing. I just think this kind of football player is the type that you can grab on the waiver wire at times. You can find these types of players now, even undrafted free agents. You find some of these bigger, stronger, one-dimensional run-stopping type players, just big bodies that are difficult to move but don't really offer you much else. I wasn't overly impressed with him. I just think he's a space eater. I think there's a place for that in the NFL, but I think in the fourth round you'd be overdrafting him with some of the talent that's probably going to be on the board there in a deep draft.
Well, I agree with you in that respect that undrafted free agents, there probably will be some space heaters at that point. But, you guys can debate whether whatever the fuck his name is, Stevie, whatever the fuck is worthy of a draft pick or not. Shane, what are your thoughts?
You know, I was kind of surprised when Lauren brought up Moreau, because recently I tend to overthink all these draft situations, and I was thinking of a scenario where maybe a Moreau and Sidney Jones would both fall in the fourth round because seriously, that was one of the things that I was talking about, and taking them, you're not going to get anything out of them this year, but that the Bears have two high fourth round picks because of when they pulled off the trade with Buffalo last year, so they also have Buffalo's pick in the fourth round this year. That's a top 10 pick, and you could really set yourself up nicely, because like Jose said, you have Amukamara, and really the only cornerback that's under contract for really any amount of time I'm blanking on his name, the guy that we signed from Hooper. Arizona. And, it's really an investment in your future. And if you you have all these guys on one-year deals, and then you could come back with a Fabian Moreau and a Sidney Jones next year in your secondary. Boy, to me, that would be a win-win. Now, to me, I don't think either will probably fall that far, but if they did, I would be all about drafting both of those guys and storing them away for a season, because I think it would pay off, you know, twofold in the future for the Bears.
Okay, that's the end of part one of our draft week show. We will have a part two out on Wednesday morning, and we will begin that show by playing Fuck, Marry, Kill, and Lauren Cox of Bears Hour Live and BearsWire.com will be with us for just a portion of that show because of he's got some other commitments. So when you join us later in the week with that show, you will listen to Mr. Lauren Cox, and then he will beg out. Now remember, everyone, if you drink, don't drive, and always bear down.
I'm going to fuck Bucky Hodges just because I think he's...
You could fuck Aaron Hernandez.
Too soon.
Oh my goodness. Good thing the FCC doesn't grant us a license for the show.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lauren.